Welcome to week one, data mining concept and techniques.
This video is subject to copyright owned by Nile University. To maximize the use of this session, please connect a headphone and mic if you can. Stay in a quiet place. Adjust the sound of your computer. Close all other programs running on your computer. The instructor will direct you to open any other required program to use. Close chat programs and social media such as Facebook, Twitters, Messengers, WhatsApp, etc. Maximize your screen to see the four corners on this slide on your screen.
In the introduction, we will explain why data mining, what is data mining. We will provide a multidimensional views of data mining, what kind of data you can mine, what kind of pattern can be mined, what is the technology used currently, what kind of application you may introduce data mining to, and what are the major issues in data mining. At the end, we will provide a brief history of data mining and data mining society. At the end, we'll summarize this presentation. The first topic is why we do data mining. With the increase of number of terabyte to petabyte, we have significant amount of information and data that may provide decision support system some knowledge so people can use it. The increase of this data comes from the fact that we have an automated data collection, we have database system, we have computer system which works on its own as autonomous, which generate lots of data. There is also business, e-commerce transactions, every activity produce massive amount of data. In science, we have remote sensing, bioinformatics, science, simulation. Everyone right now is digital, so you may exercise yourself and experience the amount of data you have on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter, in terms of images and text and what have you. So we are in a, what we call it, data pollution or lots of data. However, we would like to extract useful information or what we call it knowledge out of these data. And as the necessity is the mother of all invention, data mining is used to have automated analysis of massive amount of data to serve or to provide enough information to specific users. If we want to understand how the system evolved, you have to first to look at the evolution of the science. Before 1600, we have empirical science. Around 1600 to 1950, we talked about theoretical science, where we provide lots of theory and lots of models. Later on, we developed what we call it computational science, where we compute patterns, we compute data, and we provide models based on computation. Computations usually means simulation, and simulation can come from mathematical models and verified by empirical data. Around 1990, we start in the era of data science. We do have lots of information, lots of data coming, and this data start to build a serious question is, can we use this large data to build theory and science? We start to see effective approaches and economical approaches to store this data, to manage this data. The exposure of being online with the cloud and different aspect of the technology evolved that we have lots and lots and lots of data. We start to build what we call it internet, which is, we believe it's for free. However, each one of us is paying for its own internet, which produce a more economical accessible business. Data acquisitions and different organizations simultaneously producing multi-data start to echo a need to segregate, compare, analyze, and understand what is data. And now we have what we call it data mining, which means we mine data for useful information is no different than mining ores inside caves or inside mountains. We have a reference here from the ACM, which you can refer to if you like. If you want to look at data, data usually stored in what we call a database. And we also have to look at the database evolution. So 1960, we start with data collection, which information management system, network database management systems. Databases have been created, and you'll be lucky if you can have a database, not an Excel sheet. Around 1970, we start to see what we call it relational database and relational database management system, where you have different relations between different, they call it tables or entity or schemas. And this relation identify specific techniques for indexing and so what have you. Around 1980, we start to see advanced data models like object-oriented programming, object-oriented database, relational database management systems. There is some applications for database such as spatial database, which include GIS or geographical information system, multidimensional viewing. As a matter of fact, any of the computer graphics games is a multidimensional database, which is something many of us don't know, that if you play any of these computer animated games in 3D space, you have more than 3D data representation in the back end. Around 1990s, we start to look into data mining, data warehouses. It was mainly driven by a special interest to track the behavior of people. It was, we don't want to say it, it was primarily for looking at suspects to fight terrorism. And the terrorism, the international terrorism will come by comparing data to understand how the transactions will come through. Around 2000s, there are a stream of data management systems, and the mining has been occurring because you have all of these streams which is available on your phone. So if you look at your phone right now, you have the Twitter account, the Facebook account, all of these accounts. It provides a massive stream. And this massive stream of data, it can be analyzed to provide useful information. So with the evolution of the science, evolution of database infrastructure to support this science, we start to see what we call it data mining and its application. Also, we start to see some interfaces and some different languages we use, like XML representation, like Python, like different coding schemes, which support data mining. And we start to see a framework of data mining or how people will process this data. In the next chapter, or the next section of the chapter, we will talk about what is data mining. We will start to define the meaning of data mining. Data mining called knowledge discovery from data. How to extract more knowledge than data. Usually the knowledge is not trivial, is not obvious. So when you look at patterns and you or some data and you figure out how this data can be interpreted into knowledge. To give you an example here, you may be looking at elderly, and you may look at a specific hospitalization days, and you may be also look for geographic. And between the geographic, the age or the elderly age and the hospitalization, you may evolve some new knowledge about the reasoning of having that much usage of hospital bed. If you try to track movement of people or try to track activity, it also can be done in the same way. We have also to understand that this data mining may be supervised or unsupervised. Supervised means I know how to extract the data and I expect what the results will look like. I just need the quantity. Unsupervised means, on the other hand, that this data is not known as a pattern, and I'm looking inside patterns which is beyond the human knowledge. Data mining is a misnomer because everybody have been using data mining. However, we have some data, some alternative names, and the alternative names comes such as knowledge discovery, knowledge representation, data and pattern analysis or recognition, data archaeology, data dredging, information harvesting, business intelligence, and so on. So when we talk about what do you mean with data mining, it means that I mine data to extract knowledge that I wouldn't know, obviously, by looking at the data alone. I have to examine some pieces of the data, some parts of the data, and that is what we will be explaining in the next part. So this data mining will serve what we call it expert system to provide knowledge and support system to decision makers. So if you look at knowledge discovery, we have databases which hold data. Then we have data cleaning and data integration to integrate between the data. Data cleaning to clear what we will look for. And then we can move ahead to data warehouses. From the data warehouse, which is a traditional name to data unstructured or unstructured data, where you don't know exactly the structure of the data. You just have accumulation of buckets, and these buckets will have data. Then we have selections, and then from selecting this data, you can have a task-relevant data where you can look at specific parts of the data. You do data mining, you extract different patterns, and then you build knowledge. And this is a feedback loop where data mining will be used to discover this knowledge. An obvious question usually is, do the data miner know what they will get to? The answer is, usually they shouldn't. And the experienced data miners will, if even data miners will be a term, because sometimes we call them data scientists. And if these data scientists will be able to push into the knowledge, is based on experience of how you handle this data. With the evolving of the web, we start to see so much into this domain, because there's so much information you can extract from the web. There are so many uploading data, like there are some statistics demonstrate about maybe 30 to 50 hours of video uploaded every minute on YouTube, and so many statistics about how massive this data is. So web mining or database mining or data mining from internet and online presence, it become of an interest to so many people, because you have independent concurrent sources of collecting data, producing massive amount of data, and this data is always stored on data storage. So usually data mining involve data cleaning. I should clean the data to understand what I'm looking for. An example of data cleaning will be such that if you look for individuals crossing a specific street between 6 to 7 o'clock in the morning. So in this case, you will be able to just process this particular part. Sometimes when you acquire signal from analog sources, this signal will have some noise. So sometimes this noise reduction or denoising will be an example of data cleaning. Sometimes when you look at repetition and multi-readings from different sensor providing the same data, at that time data reduction is also considered data cleaning. Data integration from multiple sources means I can correlate the data between different sources. And then I will warehouse this data and build relational knowledge between this data called data cube. And at that point, I can produce what we call a data selection, and I will form a data mining framework. And in this series of tutorials or lectures, we will evolve and we will describe all the steps. And I also remind you that within this particular series, you can also access it through YouTube or through webcast or through podcast, if you have to make sure that you have all kinds of resources around it. And then we do data mining. After data mining, we would like to present this data. So visualization of this data is one part of the data mining. So how to visualize this data, how to present this data in front of somebody. Then we will talk about patterns and knowledge that's to be used to store into what we call it knowledge based. These are the evolving techniques. We will describe through the series of these lectures different steps on each one of those. If you look at data mining in data in business intelligence, you will can classify it as follows. We have data sources. Look at the number of sources you have for to access data through your business. You can have from paper, from file, from experiment, from somebody else you can buy. Then you will look at data pre-processing and integration. And when you process and integrate these data, you store them usually in what we call it data warehouses, or sometimes we call it a specific or a time-driven view of the data. Then you will have data exploration, which is a statistical summary, querying and reporting. You can have data mining, and data mining means information discovery. Then you visualize this technique data, and you provide a decision-making support system. So if you wanna increase the potential to support business decision, you have to be higher in the pyramid. And at the lower level, you have the database, the data analyst, the business analyst, and the end user, who is the actual decision maker who would get benefit out of these systems. We wanna provide an example between what does it mean data mining and data exploration. So if you wanna look at business intelligence view, I will see warehouse data, like just accumulation of data. I can see data cube, which provide relational shape between the different data entry. I would provide a reporting. However, in this reporting, I have no much of data mining because I'm not creating knowledge. There is a difference between business objectives and data mining tools, because I can, if I wanna provide the tools, it will be just a supply chain tool. I'm providing data. If I wanna present data, I wanna explore data. This is the difference between data mining and exploration. In knowledge discovery domain, I will have data pre-processing. I will have data mining, which means I will be able to produce patterns, associations, clustering, classification, and outliers analysis. In this case, I will be looking at how to make sense of this data by extracting trends or patterns or similarities. I can associate events and I can correlate between the different data. For example, if you have increase of revenue, you will have increase in cost, or if you have interest increase, you will have the deficiency in stocks or in basic expenses. I can also classify data based on classes I would know. I can cluster or connect similar data together to build a cluster. And I can also analyze why there are some elements or events are not compliant with my clustering or my classification. After that, I will be able to produce pattern evaluation, and I will select different patterns. I can interpret the patterns and I can visualize the pattern. So if I wanna evaluate a pattern, for example, I would like to see on medical application, I can see different MRI or scan or X-ray scan with different patterns inside the tissues, and this will be correlating to a specific disease. I can also interpret different patterns. I can say if I see this pattern, it means so and so. For example, if in financial statement, in financial transactions, if you see somebody who is doing a small transactions on a regular basis or frequently small transactions, suspectly this individual or this account will be looking to hide something, because it doesn't make sense for somebody to transfer, let's call it $10 every 1 hour, or $10 every day, or below $20 every day. So this kind of interpretation for specific patterns, it can be interpreted based on human knowledge. And then when we represent these patterns and you create pattern information. In this case, this will provide the knowledge. Here is an example in a medical data mining where healthcare and medical data are often using statistics and machine learning. So we pre-process the data, such as we look at feature extractions, dimension reductions. We would like to extract and label this data. Then we can classify or cluster this data into specifics. So for example, we look at X-ray or MRI, and we look for a specific pattern or a specific connectivity. We call it age. And then when this connectivity present a specific, when this connectivity present a specific mass, we can say it's malignant or it's a tumor or it's whatever it is. And from that point, we will start to post-process for presentation in front of an expert. In the next stage, we'll talk about the multidimensional view of data mining. Data to be mined can be coming from data bases, data warehouse. It can be transactional. It can be stream. It can be spatial temporal data. It can be time series. It can be sequence. You can also look at text and web. So we can mine data coming from Twitter accounts or from posting on Facebook. We can also mine data from videos and cameras and movies. We can look at graphs, social and information network, where we can connect between individuals and we can build the clusters or cells of individuals who have a specific pattern against or toward a specific decision or a specific process. The receiver here or the audience here should understand that we are speaking within the limitation of what terms you can use. So from that perspective, you should be able to understand that we can get data from different sources. Now, what are the knowledge that we would like to be mined? This knowledge can be characterization, it can be discrimination, we can associate, we can classify, we can build trends, we can see what kind of information people are usually saying it. For example, to give it, to put it into perspective, you may be able to drive along a highway and suddenly you see that mall. So when if you can have a way to know what people will text or will tweet when they see this mall. So when somebody will say, oh, the mall is nice, you have a white wall, it's look cute, oh, I wanna buy this, I wanna buy that. We can look at trends on how people accepting socially different constructions. When you accumulate this data around a specific funnel, and then you have some incident or events, which we call it outliers, we can analyze why individuals or why events will not comply with the majority. In this case, we talk about the 80-20 rules. Usually we have an 80-20 approach where we assume that 80% of the time, 80% of the people comply with a specific trend. However, you may experience 20, more or less 20% are outliers or they don't comply. Sometimes the outlier can be an indication that you don't have enough amount of information or enough data sets that can provide a specific trends. So the knowledge, or this is describes the knowledge. Then we can talk about two different of data mining. One of them is descriptive and one of them is predictive. Descriptive means I can look at data mine and I can describe an event happening in the past or a pattern, or I can describe and extract a specific amount of information that usually is not known because nobody analyzed this data before. I can also do some prediction of data mining, because if I can build a waveform or a diagram or basically a trend, and I can fit the data into a specific curves, I can come and say from data mining perspective, I can predict that these things will happen. I can also multiple and have integrated function and data mining at multiple levels, because I can mine data at multi levels and I can provide them. Usually we use data intensive techniques. We use data warehouses, machine learning, statistics, pattern recognition. We can use high performance computing, visualizations, and different technologies can be used for doing data mining. There are so many applications right now, and the applications can range from retail to all the way to homeland security. Banking and stock market analysis, text mining for behavior, all of these are different applications which can be adopted by data mining. The most important piece of information here for you is data mining is a big, huge, more than huge term. You have unlimited number of data, you have unlimited number of sources, you have unlimited number of techniques. It's an opportunity for you to use your innovation to come up with answers for unknown questions. And this is the way I would like personally to put it together. The question after that is, what kind of data can be mined? We have database-oriented data sets and applications, so we have structured, we call them structured data. So you have a record of different fields, and these fields will provide what we call it database, and then you can have indexing and you know what the field is about. You may experience missing fields, you may experience, we call it garbage or noise in some of the fields. However, it's still structured, it's still, you know that this term is the name of somebody. This is a database, the data of birth. This is what, this is what. On the other hand, we have advanced data sets and including data streams, including sensing and time data series, sequence of data. It may be structured or not structured. It may be related or not related. It can be stored in object-related database. It can be heterogeneous database. It can connect to legacy database. You may have a spatial temporal database, which means you have some notion of geographical information system or maps, and these maps will change with the time. You can also have a multimedia database, which basically video, audio, and stuff like that. You can have a free text databases, and you can have also the World Wide Web. So what we want to say is, almost any data human being is producing, it has the likelihood of being mined for information. This is what the summary of this slide about. The next question is, what kind of patterns can be mined? So if I want to look at different data, I want to understand what kind of information and what kind of matter of information I can mine. So I can have information integration. I can look at data warehouse construction. I can transform data, integrate data, build multidimensional model of data. I can have also a data cube technology. And the data cube technology will provide, it's a scalable method where I have multidimensional relation between each node. And from data cube, I can build relations and I can do what we call it online analytic processing. And we will have a specific section. I believe it's lecture 6 or week 6. We'll talk about this particular data cube. I can also have multidimensional concept description, which basically characterization and discrimination, where I can identify, I can construct, contrast, I can compare, I can build trends out of this data. I can also associate data and correlate between them. So I can ask myself, what is the frequency of this transaction to happen? For example, what is the frequency that you go buy from Walmart or from what we call it, local store or grocery store or Carrefour? I can also look at what's the frequency of you drive in this street? What's the frequency of you visit this place? I can associate between data. For example, if you go to the mall, most likely you go to like Carrefour or like Walmart. I can also associate, in this particular cases here, they talk about, you associate diapers with beers. That's if people will buy diaper, most likely they will buying beers with 50% potential, with 0.5% potential and 75% confidence, which basically, usually people who have diapers which means they have kids at home, they don't buy beer. Then we can also have strong associations. So for example, if you buy Nescafe, you will buy milk or dry milk. If you buy meat, most likely you will buy butter or oil or seasoning, stuff like that. So this association rules, it can be looked after from data mining. And the question is always how to mine such a pattern and how to build this correlation. This is one of the tasks which we'll know in the next lectures. How do you use such pattern for classification and the clustering? This also will be part of this series of courses. If you talk about classification and prediction, we always look at how we can classify. So if I want to classify, I need to know what's the classification about. So one of the techniques we use with neural network and artificial intelligence, machine learning, whatever you call it, is we can understand subset of the data and we can label them to specific class. And then we will train our system, if they see this similar type of data, to produce this class. And then from that point, we can build a predictor where you, when you provide this data into the classifier, the new data will come to know how to classify this data. There's also typical methods, and the typical methods is like decision tree or naive Bayesian classifier, support vector machines, neural network, rule-based classification. So for example, if you see a big potato, most likely it has more time in the field. It means an aging food. Not necessary, because you may see a small potato and because it did not get fertilized enough in the field, the small potato did not grow as the one bigger. So this kind of rules, if you put them together, we can build decision tree. Remember, this is an introductory lecture in a series of 12 session course. Each one may exceed 2 hours. So here we try to put an umbrella. We try to provide large information to be able to show you what we are exploring in this field. Typical application for this kind of classifications will be marketing, to understand the behavior of buyers. You can classify different disasters, you can classify different disease, you can look at different web pages, how to maximize the reach out of it. You can do a potential fraud detection on credit card because you see behavior patterns. So one of the functionalities of data mining, to summarize it, is a classification. And classification means you classify specific events or a specific set of data or specific individuals behind the data into a specific known class. The most interesting part of data mining is called clustering analysis or clustering. And the clustering means I will see patterns of behavior or patterns of values, and I will classify them into a class. And this class does not have a characterization, it just have a label. From this label, I will start to explore what kind of characterization and what kind of performance or behavior I can attribute or label this cluster at. This concept is very important because I can look at similarity of the data and the dissimilarity of the data, and I can analyze how this similar data will get together. There are many techniques and many methods have been used in the clustering schemes. We will cover some in the future lectures. However, if you understand the scope of clustering, you realize this is a gold mine for people, because you will be able to build different clusters in different ways. The outlier analysis is another approach we have, and the outliers is data objects that don't comply with the general behavior of data. Now, the question is, what is the general behavior of data? So in the general behavior of data, we always talk about 80-20 rules, like majority of the data, 80% of the data or more, will follow specific patterns. So for example, you have pedestrian. And if you look at behavior of pedestrian around buildings, they will basically get from specific doors. However, you have these specific ones who will roam around the building, round and round and round. And we always ask, so what this pedestrian is doing around the building? Most likely he's a security guard. or most likely he's a suspect. So these outliers, if they don't comply, they may be noise or exception. They may be noise because they may be room wanderers or people who lost their ways, or they may be exception because they have a specific task. So we will introduce specific techniques to produce clusters or regression analysis. We will, it's very useful for fraud detection, for rare event analysis. The next step we'll talk about it is time and ordering, sequential pattern and trends, and evaluation analysis. You can look at sequence trends and evaluation. You can look at time-driven. You can look at regression. You can look at specific behavior. We can look at specific sequential patterns. For example, somebody will buy a digital camera. He will go buy an SD. Somebody will go buy a Tylenol or a medication for headache. He will also go and buy vitamin. Somebody who will go and buy vegetables, fresh vegetables, or he will go and buy cheese. Some of these patterns can be also analyzed. We can look at periodical analysis. One of the projects we worked on early on is how often you go to visit the washroom. And when you go to your washroom, how often a day? And this pattern or periodic analysis may result that you suffer from a specific disease. And this specific disease or a specific potential disease did not have a symptoms, you may be able to treat earlier than when you have the analysis. You can also look at MOTFIT, biological sequence analysis. You can look at approximations, consequence. You can look at similarity between these sequences based on how similar you do in a pattern. For example, every weekend, you will go to the mall and buy a specific grocery in a specific route. 80% of the grocery most likely will be similar. At that stage, I will be able to provide you with advertisement on the similar product you will always buy, or I can send you a reminder that's next within your visit today that you missed these particular products which you got in the last visit. This kind of similarities, it can boost our economy, it can boost our sales, it can boost our understanding of the crowd. You can also mine data streams to understand trends. So for example, when you have a Carrefour, people will have a specific trends. When you have a specific anxiety, a specific, I don't want to say, like a specific lack of specific products, you may be able to see these streams. You can always order them. You can look at time variation and so and what have you. There is also structure and network analysis. So we can find, in this case, we look at a more complex set of data, like graphs, figures, structures. So if I want to find frequently chemical compound, I can look at tree structures, I can look at fragments. I can build information network analysis such as network of people, which is I always love to talk about. So if you look at specific actors, a specific relation, if you look at author networks in a specific environment, if you look at terrorist network, how people are sending hidden messages. I can look also that some people can be in a different heterogeneous network, and I can label them based on friends, family, classmate. I can link and carry a lot of semantics like link mining. I can do web mining. And in web mining, I can take lots of data. And then, for example, if you have a page which has a higher rank on Google, this page most likely will be a desired product or a business which people like to buy from. So I can always analyze this behavior and look at how I can increase other pages based on what people like in these particular images. So this kind of structures and network analysis is part of what we call it data mining. The question is, are all mind knowledge interesting? Not necessarily all mind, knowledge mining are interesting. They must have a commercial viable need. So you have multiple patterns. You can talk about different dimension, different correlation between dimensions. However, do they really need to be together? So I would like also to highlight here that we always look at mining only interesting knowledge. So I want to look at either descriptive or predictive. Descriptive means I can describe phenomena happened. Predictive means I can predict what will happen in the future. I can look at coverage to make sure that people have been covered or how many people have been covered. I can look at typical versus novelty. I can look at accuracy of knowledge and how much accuracy I can get. And on accuracy, we have to talk about one more thing is the beauty of working in the social media data mining is there is no accuracy required. However, on the other end, we have something called critical mission application. In critical mission application, you will need high accuracy in real time when you allow a specific response time. You can also look at different timelines and how sensitive this data from temporal information. So in the evaluation of knowledge, you have lots of data. You can have multiple knowledge dimensions. The question is, which one is more interesting to you? The following section, we will talk about what kind of technology are used inside data mining. So you have data mining, we have applications, we have machine learning, we have pattern recognition, we have statistics and statistical tool, visualization, we have high performance computing to process all of this data, we have database technology which is structured or unstructured, and we also have different algorithms, and these algorithms will be able to demonstrate to you what kind of information you can extract. So this is the convolution of multidisciplinary research. So as a data scientist performing data mining, you will need to know, unfortunately, a little bit in each one of those sets. And this little bit will make you dangerous, will make you be able to explore more. So in this particular introductory course, we will be able to provide you a little bit of information in each one of these sections. So there is a large amount of data, so usually we need algorithms to scale them down. We have high dimensionality of data, which basically we have 10,000 of dimension. Data are usually complex. They come from data stream, from sensor data. They may be temporal, they may be sequential, they may be spatial. Data can be structured, can be graphed, can be social, can be heterogeneous. Can you have legacy data, new data? They change the versioning of however they collect this data, so you have a different format. You may have multidimensional data, multi-nature data like video, images, text. And you may have different software and different simulation as well, where you may integrate to understand the legacy between models and the data itself. So you have a new and sophisticated application, which we call it data mining. What kind of application you are targeting with data mining? We have web page analysis is a common one for marketing and is usually, whenever you talk about data and need for knowledge, you have usually two disciplines. One is sensitive homeland security level protection and commercial money-making machine. So between these two, I believe everybody fall in. Everything will fall in. So when we analyze web pages based on classification, based on ranking, we can also do recommender systems. We can build collaborative systems. We can build basket analysis for target marketing. We can, on the other hand, look at biological and medical analysis. We can look at classifications, cluster analysis, biological sequence analysis. So this is will cover the medical field. There is also some kind of fields now they call data mining and software engineering, where we will have individuals who will just specialize research in and application in data mining and extracting information. Then we will have different tools like server analysis, like Oracle database mining, analysis. We have some invisible data mining tools. You can also have what we call it right now as Python, and you can connect to different libraries to do data mining. Major issues in data mining, the largest one usually is the methodology. How you can mine what you don't know will be getting. So mining various and new kind of knowledge, the dimensionality of the space, because remember, each one new attribute will increase the complexity of your space. So if I have first name, last name, it's two dimension. If I have date of birth, it's a third dimension. If I have salary, it's a fourth dimension. So by having multidimensional, if you add one more attribute, you will increase the complexity of the detection because you have more dimension. The other part is data mining. It's interdisciplinary effort because you may have a statistical methods which will work with image processing, like edges detection, which will work with pattern analysis, with color format. So you will have the mining methodology will evolve and will create more interesting future because multidisciplinary, more knowledge. You can also look at the computational power required. You can look at how to manage noise and uncertainty. Incompleteness of data is another aspect which is huge right now, where we look at when data is not there, how we can fill it with more appropriate information. And if you work in real-time data collection, you might find an interesting part that if you predict this data to be X and with the time accumulation it becomes Y value, you may be deviated from the original. And this is what we call it real-time or semi-supervised data mining, where you can unsupervised for some time and once you have more clarity. So the beauty of data mining is like human brain. You don't know what will happen. You don't know how will it change, how it dynamics. The other part is a user interaction. And the user interaction can be the interactive, the background knowledge, how you can present data and visualization. We will talk about lots of visualization scheme within this particular course. Efficiency and scalability is also known as one of the major, because when you will get the information and how the information delay will happen when you scale the data. Remember, when we talk about one extra dimension, it will increase the scalability of the data. You can also talk about parallel and distributed streams. You can look at incremental mining method, like whenever you get new information, you can discover. There is also diversity of data, how you can manage complex data, heterogeneous data, different data. For sure, data mining has some other aspects where we talk about the social impact of data mining, because if people will know that you collect this information about them and you analyze it, it may impact their social activity. There is also a bigger question about the privacy and who captures the data. And I will introduce a module in the middle where we talk about the complexity of collecting data and what kind of legislations around it. And then there is an invisible data mining situation where you can look at data and you extract knowledge which cannot be seen from the data. There's also a bigger question right now in some places in Europe where if this information and knowledge is generated by a computer, not a human, who has the access, who owns it, and who can own the rights to it. We want to talk about, finalize here with a brief history of data mine and data mining society. This is different workshops. I will not go into it into deep, but I can say that around 1989, we start to see the workshop on knowledge discovery and database. And then it start to evolve and we start to have some transactions. These are the set of conferences which you can look at in the slides and journals. If you want to find references, you have access to all of these resources, which is right now on the screen. Individuals on the podcast, you may refer to the associated PowerPoint slide, or you may refer to the actual video at your leisure time. I don't think it will help anybody just to go and list this particular information. To summarize this particular session, we discussed data mining. We talk about discovering interesting pattern and build knowledge from a large or massive amount of data. It's a natural evolution within the database technology and with the availability of more sophisticated processing techniques and processing platform. We have a knowledge discovery space which include data cleaning, data integration, data selection. You have transformation, you have data mining, pattern evaluation, and knowledge presentations. And more or less, the flow of the following sections or the following lectures, if you want to call it that, it will follow this particular pattern. Mining can be performed on variety of data, heterogeneous data, different set of data. It can predict data, it can substitute for missing data, it can handle few things. So we can mine basically anything. Data mining functionality, it includes primarily characterization, when we characterize this data, discriminate this data means identify specific data. We can associate data together, we can classify them, we can cluster them, we can look at outliers and trends where we can extract the one which does not follow a specific trends. However, we may not know the trends. So this is our the functionality where data mining will follow through. So if you wanna understand data mining technologies and the applications, you have to understand that if you know one technique and the definition, how to apply each one of these functionality, you'll be able to pass the first level of data scientist with data mining experience. Yeah, I've also to understand the major issues in data mining, which we'll discover, which we'll cover it very quickly. And at that point, I would like to thank you and looking forward to see you in the next level. There is a recommended reference books I have on the screen here for you. You should be able also to find it inside the PowerPoint slides. And looking forward for your feedback, I would remind you that this particular session is also available on podcast on iTunes and the Google Play. For any more information, please email me at badawi@badawi.ca or badawi@kaiwave.net. Looking forward to hear from you again, and write in the comments here your feedback or send them to me. Thank you and have a nice day.